The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you really feel called to in your heart? You know, there's so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is really, really peace of mind when you know deep down that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's so much potential for anxiety and worry when you just don't have that alignment.
That's right, James. But that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
That's right. And when you're confused or scared, you just plain old are not making good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 38
of
Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then part of the way through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler.
We'll try not to forget.
Or we just forget all the time.
But we still throw it in there somewhere.
That's right. But a weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle that we'll share with you. And as always, we really don't know if the puzzler is actually interesting to anybody but us. But
we love them.
But we love them. That's right. And we're the ones behind the mic here.
Yes.
That's right.
We pull the levers.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. We are, you know, we are here actually in our office today in the studio we have in our office because.
Thank you, Mr. Ice.
That's right. We had ice and snow. So much in the week that we were supposed to be recording this session. So, but it's always kind of fun. I mean, the groundhog saw his shadow, and now we're getting six more weeks of winter.
Yeah,
and so here we are.
I hope that little groundhog was lying.
Yeah, what if it's a groundhog lying? That's right. Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
Well, it's been a busy week.
Yeah. What would. Here in our weekend review, what would you say was some of those big news highlights throughout this past week?
Yeah, well, President Trump, I think, is just starting off with a bang.
That's with a capital B.
With a capital B, capital A, capital N, capital G. Bang!
Right.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. There's so much going on. Just, you know, it's like, wow, I think he's, you know, he's hitting, and his administration are hitting the ground running.
It's hard to keep up.
That's right. That's right. Earlier this week, it was the big tariff thing, and all the tariffs were supposed to go into effect, and everybody was concerned about how the markets were going to sell off, and they didn't.
No.
So it's almost like, wow, this has happened before.
Mm-hmm. It has.
It has.
It's not like something that we've never seen before, that's for sure.
Like a tariff is not this brand new thing.
Mm-mm.
Well, we should talk about tariffs since it's a big deal out there.
Yeah.
Right now.
A lot of people, they don't know what to think of it, to be honest. You hear one thing and you hear another thing. Some people are saying it's good for the country. Other people saying it's going to hurt our pocketbooks.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I think we always just need to keep in mind that an economy is a series of transactions.
Right.
Yeah. People doing business with each other.
More globally now than ever, but still the same.
That's right. I mean, we're still globally connected. I think we will be globally connected like forever, mm-hmm. or at least for my lifetime. My lifetime keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Well,
so does yours, but you've got more left on yours than
I'm not
probably
trying to
do
hear that today.
That's right. Yeah. anyway, so an economy is really just, it's a series of transactions. And if it costs people more to do business, then it costs more for each one of those transactions to happen.
Right. Whether there's a regulatory cost, shipping costs.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it doesn't, it matters what causes the costs, but in a really sort of rudimentary kind of way.
It's all getting baked in.
That's right. It all eventually gets baked in. So whenever you have a new cost, that just sort of injects itself into the system, initially you have a shock as everybody gets used to that cost. And then people figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And life moves on.
By absorbing it, by finding alternatives.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll talk about that some as we go through the segment here today. But Canada, first, I mean, there were supposed to be these big tariffs on Canada and Mexico.
25% on Canada, Mexico, and 10% on China.
Right.
That's what was announced. And everybody's like, what?
What? Oh, my goodness. big. This is going to be a big deal. And then all of a sudden...
Well, Trudeau responded with tariffs of his own, too.
So
he was saber-rattling.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, we're going to tariff you. Okay, you're going to tariff us back.
Uh-huh.
I think God designed people to do business with each other. So tariffs kind of get in the way of that. But anyway, we would run out of time if we started talking about that. So tariffs, we threatened them. They threatened us. And then all of a sudden, we're going to put the whole thing on hold for a month.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, I guess we'll see.
They're trying to negotiate things on back channels, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. It feels to me like, you know, Mr. Trump has kind of come in. He comes into the proverbial room and it's just like he asks for everything. And maybe you wind up getting something like that.
But, well, even this example itself, he's been able to tell his supporters that he brokered a smart deal. And he's declaring victory.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I mean, Canada is now introducing their own fentanyl czar for their immigration.
Oh, actually, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And Mexico is pledging 10,000 troops to National Guard troops to its border to help with
the
crossings.
To help with that.
So he's saying, hey, guys, that's a win for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know, President Trump halted... kind of an important part of his tariff attack on China,
mm-hmm.
as you know, he threatened to impose new duties and tariffs on goods and services that came from even more countries. The interesting thing there is that, you know, how does this work if you owe people a lot of money?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, we owe China a lot of money.
Yeah, but you mean the tariffs? How does that affect that?
Well, we owe them a lot of money, and so we're also going to tariff.
Well, that's kind of on the side. Don't worry about us owing you money. Let's just keep doing business.
Yeah, let's just keep doing business. And, and you know, there's a biblical principle. The borrower is the servant to the lender. I wonder how that all just plays into this tariff thing.
So then biblically, we're allowing China to be our master.
Oh, yes. But that's been happening for a long time. That's exactly right. And I always wonder, too, with all the debt that has... It just keeps ballooning and burgeoning that again, the borrower is the servant to the lender. So, you know, are we really creating wealth or are we just creating a lot of servitude? Right. Well, again, I mean, we could really go down that rabbit trail. So let's bookmark that for now.
What about some more bangs?
Some more bangs. So you have this canal thing going on, the Panama Canal, in which... Canals are a big deal. We talked about that last year, about how they impact the shipping lanes. And, you know, last week I sat in a conference. It was a web conference with an organization called the conference board. And the conference board really creates all of these statistics, leading economic indicators, coincident indicators, and lagging indicators.
And we've spoken about those before.
We've talked about those before. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they mentioned in this webinar that I was sitting in is that they did a survey of chief executive officers of companies all over the globe, and more than half of chief executive officers are concerned and making changes in their supply chains.
Mm-hmm.
The regions they buy things from, they're trying to diversify the regions they buy things from. They're trying to diversify suppliers that they buy from. And they're trying to shorten the supply chains.
And some countries are trying to find new avenues, like through the Arctic.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Why? Well, one of the things is the dynamics that we have going on at places like the Panama Canal.
And the Suez Canal.
And the Suez Canal. Yeah, so when countries, major countries, sit and argue and fight about the transportation of goods through these places, it interrupts and makes supply chains more difficult. So again, the world is made up of people. People try to figure out then how to deal with that. And if you're running a company somewhere, then you're going to try to figure out how to get your supplies from some other place. And you'll try to make some adjustments like that. And all that really turns into, again, economic activity showing up over here where it had been showing up over there. It makes a difference in what happens in your investment portfolio.
It does. Yeah. I mean, what happens out there globally with tariffs and our economy, it directly affects the decisions these companies make, directly affects what the holdings in our portfolios.
That's right. So just remember what I said earlier, that an economy is a series of transactions. So there's all these details flying around out there, all these stories, tariffs, supply chains, et cetera, et cetera.
And these markets are always moving.
Markets are always moving.
You need to have an advisor that is aware of these
concepts.
You
need to have an advisor. Yeah, we talk with our clients about this all the time. The importance of being allocated the right way in your portfolios. So, you know, if you don't have a good advisor that you're working with, you know, give us a call.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that was some good news topics.
Good news topics.
I'm sure there's going to be some more bangs to bring up in the weeks to come. Well, we got to take a quick break, folks. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where we are talking every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
And it's good to be here with you today.
Yes, it is.
We're recording, so we won't actually be with you because this will go out.
It's good to be here with Joe today.
To be here with Joe today. That's right. And, you know, we should invite somebody over. If you get the weekly puzzler correct and you'd like to visit here at the station when we record, we'll pick like the third person with the correct answer.
That's right. And then we'll ask permission from the station afterwards.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, if there's only one thing that you take away from today's podcast, we hope that you will take away the point that if you want to be successful, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right. So a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about defining success,
mm-hmm.
correct? That's and then right. talking about that it needs to be specific and intentional.
That's right.
And now this week, we're going to be talking about how it must be measurable.
That's right. And I think when we were talking about being specific, we talked about the fact that it needed to be written down.
Mm-hmm.
We said putting your definition of success in writing makes you 42% more likely to actually get to where you're going.
That's right.
But when you start writing things down, you've also taken a really important step towards making things measurable.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a good step in that direction.
That's right. So writing things and putting things in writing is really important.
But it could still be garble on a paper as well.
It could be garble on a paper, like that jobs report.
Keep that put away.
All right. Put the jobs report away. We're on to the next segment here. But, you know, really, no, we think that measuring our progress is actually a biblical principle, even though most times we don't think about it that way. But think about this with me, right? All through the Bible, God had really specific standards for measuring whether or not people were fulfilling the plan that he had.
That's true.
Right? Think about Noah.
Mm-hmm. What, the ark?
The ark. I mean, that was really, really specific. It took him an amazingly long time to build it, but he could measure his progress.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the Ten Commandments. They're a clear set of rules with measurable outcomes. Thou shalt not steal.
No, that's right.
Not very ambiguous there.
No, pretty clear, pretty measurable.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And in the very beginning, of course, Adam and Eve were told they could eat anything they wanted to, but just not the fruit of that particular tree. So that was also
very specific.
Really specific.
And measurable, not even one.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And we can think of other examples. Nehemiah, he was a Jewish leader, and he meticulously oversaw the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls by assigning tasks, setting a timeline, and tracking progress.
That's right.
It's rather specific and measurable.
That's right. And I know, you know, last week I think we were talking about interstate highways.
Oh, boy.
Which is a far cry away from rebuilding a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder sometimes.
Right. How specific and measurable are they being?
That's right. I mean, it took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. And sometimes I wonder if that's what we're doing on, you know, the 83 corridor or on the South Bridge, right?
The multi-decade expansion.
Yeah, that's right. Which is really probably not very funny, but somewhere there's a plan.
No, I drive up it every day. No, it's not very funny.
But somewhere there's a plan. The plan is in writing and it's measurable.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So what's important.
That's right. So we understand. But anyway, back to the biblical text, to not get too far off. God gave people a plan for a tabernacle and a temple. So we would simply run out of time if we went through and listed all the different examples and stories where God had something really specific. So, so we think that when we line out a definition of success, we put it in writing, we're specific about it, and it's measurable, we think that that is a principle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, imagine going on a road trip without a destination or even a map. You might enjoy the scenery for a little while, but eventually you'll start to wonder if you're headed in the right direction.
And how far. Right.
You know, having a measurable plan is like having a GPS for your financial journey.
That's right. When we were kids, you know, Mom, are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
That's
are we
exactly there yet? Right. So we want to know, really. I mean, we have this inherent need inside of us to know, are we making progress in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we said this already, but I'll say it again. If you take our advice from last week and you commit your plans to writing, then you will have started in the process of making a smart definition of success that you will be making things measurable.
And what if they did miss it? How can they listen to?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Episodes.
If you didn't have an opportunity to hear our podcast from the last couple of weeks, you can visit the Holy Family Radio website at www.720whyf.com. Did I get that right, Joe? And when you get to the website, click on the tab that says Resources, and then choose Podcasts. Look for the Money and Mission podcasts, and you can listen to all of them. I think, how long are they saved there, Joe?
Forever,
for posterity, right? So be careful what we say. But secondly, we're working hard at getting these podcasts onto the Wealth Development Council website as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's www.wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. I don't think we're quite finished with that project yet, but you can check periodically, and we'll let you know when we're finished. So
there's a button on the homepage that says podcast.
Right on the right side.
Just click that button.
Just click the button that says podcast. Yeah. So if you miss one of the episodes that we're talking about, many of the things we're talking about here build on each other.
That's right.
That's right. So if you miss something, you can go back several episodes.
Kind of like some of the sermons at church, where they, if you know, they pick up on a certain theme, and week after week they go over things.
That's right.
And if I miss it one week, I'm like, oh my, what were they talking about last week?
That's right. Yeah. So, all right. So you can go back and listen, and then you can kind of measure your progress as well in listening to all of the episodes. But you know, someone, I just want to kind of relate this to the investment world.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man that called me some time ago to ask my advice on a particular investment that he had made. This investment had a widely publicized reputation as being incredibly risky and having a lot of volatility.
Mm.
Okay. Fortunately, the timing had worked out really well, and his investment had increased in value enormously. Just, I mean, it just went to the sky. And the question that he had for me was, well, what should I do? And I said, sell it. Right? I mean, because you don't really make money until you sell something. And what was his response? His response was, well, why in the world would I sell it? You know, because it's making money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question to ask him. But we all have to remember that the goal isn't just to make money, right? It's to achieve your specific financial goals. And if the investment has exceeded your target, maybe taking some profits might be prudent to protect your gains and reallocate towards other objectives that you may have.
That's right. Well, the problem here was that he didn't have a target.
Ah.
I mean, this is a very good point.
So he didn't define success in that situation.
He didn't define success. He had no idea where he was headed. And just like you said, if the investment has exceeded your target, but what if you didn't write it down? What if you had no idea where you're headed? Well, the question that became a really difficult question for him to deal with because he didn't have a measurable definition. And because he didn't know how to measure success in his investment, then he was stuck dealing with the many emotions that come at us all the time when we don't have a written plan.
Yeah, and investing can be an emotional roller coaster.
That's exactly right.
But like you said, having a measurable plan gives you a sense of control and helps you make decisions based on logic, not fear or greed.
That's right. And if you don't have that written out and you don't have it measurable, then what happens, unfortunately, it works like this. You wind up struggling emotionally. First, you wonder, is it time to sell?
Mm.
Will this go up forever? Well, only God knows how long anything is going to move in any particular direction. I mean, he doesn't share that with me, and I don't know that he shared it with anybody else either. So here you have this thing, money, which is probably important to you at some level, and it's invested, and you've got this investment that's going up, and you start wondering, when is this going to go down? And it starts nagging at you, and then you worry, and you get into a cycle potentially of just worrying, which is really not what God wants you to be.
No, not right? at all.
I mean, it's not a good spot. And if you don't have a target, maybe the market, you know, maybe your investment starts going back down in value. Then you're kicking yourself. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know we talked about this form, the term loss aversion, where people tend to feel the pain of a loss a lot more intensely than the pressure of the pleasure of an equal gain. Measuring goals can help mitigate this, providing a clear exit point, like you said, whatever that target should have been.
That's right. So, but the reason we're sharing this really here and spending time on it is that this emotional stuckness that is so easy to get into when you don't have a measurable plan. It can just knock you out.
That's right.
Right. I mean, it really can. It can cause you to make bad decisions. It can hurt relationships if you've got this worry thing going on, and so on and so forth. So you know, really we say if there's one thing that you take away, your success needs, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right.
Please write it down and have a measurable target. Speaking of measurable targets, though, the clock is sitting here running, and
but I also know we have some examples, right, of folks that have achieved their definition of success. We'll talk about more later in the show, but I'll just start with one. Bill Gates, he had a vision for Microsoft, and that was to put a computer on every desk in every home.
Mm-hmm.
And he tracked market share and sales figures meticulously to gauge progress towards this goal, specific and measurable.
That's right. And we have a measurable target each week to do a weekly puzzle.
That's right.
And
we'll get that to the next segment.
We're running out of time as we can. You know, we're measuring, saying, oops, we're not on target for that.
That's okay. We'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
And it's good to be here with you today.
Yes, it is.
I mean, we're recording, so we won't actually be with you because this will go out.
It's good to be here with Joe today.
It's good to be here with Joe today. That's right. And you know, we should invite somebody over. If you get the weekly puzzler correct and you'd like to visit here at the station when we record, you know, we'll pick like the third person with the correct answer.
That's right.
That's right.
And then we'll ask permission from the station afterwards.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, if there's only one thing that you take away from today's podcast, we hope that you will take away the point that if you want to be successful, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right. So a couple weeks ago, we started talking about defining success, correct? Talking about that it needs to be specific and intentional.
That's right.
And now this week, we're going to be talking about how it must be measurable.
That's right. And I think when we were talking about being specific, we talked about the fact that it needed to be written down.
Mm-hmm.
We said putting your definition of success in writing makes you 42% more likely to actually get to where you're going.
That's right.
But when you start writing things down, you've also taken a really important step towards making things measurable.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a good step in that direction.
That's right. So writing things and putting things in writing is really important.
But it could still be garble on a paper as well.
It could be garble on a paper, like that jobs report.
Keep that put away.
All right. Put the jobs report away. We're on to the next segment here. But, you know, really, no, we think that measuring our progress is actually a biblical principle.
Mm.
Even though most times we don't think about it that way. But think about this with me, right? All through the Bible, God had really specific standards for measuring whether or not people were fulfilling the plan that he had.
That's true.
Right? Think about Noah.
Mm-hmm. What, the ark?
The ark. I mean, that was really, really specific. It took him an amazingly long time to build it, but he could measure his progress.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the Ten Commandments. They're a clear set of rules with measurable outcomes. Thou shalt not steal.
No, that's right.
Not very ambiguous there.
No, pretty clear, pretty measurable.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And in the very beginning, of course, Adam and Eve were told they could eat anything they wanted to, but just not the fruit of that particular tree. So that was also
very specific.
Really specific.
And measurable, not even one.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And we can think of other examples. Nehemiah, he was a Jewish leader, and he meticulously oversaw the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls by assigning tasks, setting a timeline, and tracking progress.
That's right.
It's rather specific and measurable.
That's right. And I know, you know, last week I think we were talking about interstate highways.
Oh, boy.
Which is a far cry away from rebuilding a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder sometimes.
Right. Right? How specific and measurable are they being?
That's right. I mean, it took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. And sometimes I wonder if that's what we're doing on, you know, the 83 corridor or on the South Bridge, right?
The multi-decade expansion.
Yeah, that's right. Which is really not probably not very funny, but somewhere there's a plan.
No, I drive up it every day. No, it's not very funny.
But somewhere there's a plan. The plan is in writing and it's measurable.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So and that's what's important.
That's right. So we understand. But anyway, back to the biblical text, to not get too far off. God gave people a plan for a tabernacle and a temple. So we would simply run out of time if we went through and listed all the different examples and stories where God had something really specific. So, So we think that when we line out a definition of success, we put it in writing, we're specific about it, and it's measurable, we think that that is a principle.
Yeah, I mean, imagine going on a road trip without a destination or even a map. You might enjoy the scenery for a little while, but eventually you'll start to wonder if you're headed in the right direction.
And how far.
And how far.
Right.
You know, having a measurable plan is like having a GPS for your financial journey.
That's right. When we were kids, you know, Mom, are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
That's
are we
exactly there yet? Right. So we want to know, really. I mean, we have this inherent need inside of us to know, are we making progress in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we said this already, but I'll say it again. If you take our advice from last week and you commit your plans to writing, then you will have started in the process of making a smart definition of success that you will be making things measurable.
And now, what if they did miss it? How can they listen to?
Oh, yeah, good point. Episodes. If you didn't have an opportunity to hear our podcast from the last couple of weeks, you can visit the Holy Family Radio website at www.720whyf.com. Did I get that right, Joe? And when you get to the website, click on the tab that says Resources and then choose Podcasts. Look for the Money and Mission Podcasts, mm-hmm. and you can listen to all of them. I think, how long are they saved there, Joe?
Forever,
for posterity, right? Yeah. So be careful what we say. But secondly, we're working hard at getting these podcasts onto the Wealth Development Council website as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's www.wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. I don't think we're quite finished with that project yet, but you can check periodically and we'll let you know when we're finished. So
there's a button on the homepage that
mm-hmm.
says podcast.
Right on the right side.
Just click that button.
Just click the button that says podcast. Yeah. So if you miss one of the episodes that we're talking about, many of the things we're talking about here build on each other.
That's right.
That's right. So if you miss something, you can go back several episodes.
Kind of like some of the sermons at church where they, if you know, they pick up on a certain theme and week after week they go over things.
That's right.
And if I miss it one week, I'm like, oh my, what were they talking about last week?
That's right. Yeah. So, all right. So you can go back and listen. And then you can kind of measure your progress as mm-hmm. well in listening to all of the episodes. But, you know, someone, I just want to kind of relate this to the investment world.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man that called me some time ago to ask my advice on a particular investment that he had made. This investment had a widely publicized reputation as being incredibly risky and having a lot of volatility.
Mm.
Okay. Fortunately, the timing had worked out really well and his investment had increased in value enormously. It just went to the sky. And the question that he had for me was, well, what should I do? And I said, sell it. Right? I mean, because you don't really make money until you sell something. And what was his response? His response was, well, why in the world would I sell it? You know, because it's making money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question to ask him. But we all have to remember that the goal isn't just to make money, right? It's to achieve your specific financial goals. And if the investment has exceeded your target, maybe taking some profits might be prudent to protect your gains and reallocate towards other objectives that you may have.
That's right. Well, the problem here was that he didn't have a target.
Ah.
I mean, this is a very good point.
So he didn't define success in that situation.
He didn't define success. He had no idea where he was headed. And just like you said, if the investment has exceeded your target, but what if you didn't write it down? What if you had no idea where you're headed? Well, the question, that became a really difficult question for him to deal with because he didn't have a measurable definition. And because he didn't know how to measure success in his investment, then he was stuck dealing with the many emotions that come at us all the time when we don't have a written plan.
Yeah, and investing can be an emotional roller coaster.
That's exactly right.
But like you said, having a measurable plan gives you a sense of control and helps you make decisions based on logic, not fear or greed.
That's right. And if you don't have that written out and you don't have it measurable, then what happens, unfortunately, it works like this. You wind up struggling emotionally. First, you wonder, is it time to sell? Will this go up forever? Well, only God knows how long anything is going to move in any particular direction. I mean, he doesn't share that with me. And I don't know that he shared it with anybody else either. So here you have this thing, money, which is probably important to you at some level, and it's invested. And you've got this investment that's going up, and you start wondering, when is this going to go down? And it starts nagging at you, and then you worry, and you get into a cycle potentially of just worrying, which is really not what God wants you to be.
No, not right? at all.
I mean, it's not a good spot. And if you don't have a target, maybe the market, you know, maybe your investment starts going back down in value. Then you're kicking yourself. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Right?
And I know we talked about this forum, the term loss aversion, where people tend to feel the pain of a loss a lot more intensely than the pressure of the pleasure of an equal gain. Measuring goals can help mitigate this, providing a clear exit point, like you said, whatever that target should have been.
That's right. So, but the reason we're sharing this really here and spending time on it is that this emotional stuckness that is so easy to get into when you don't have a measurable plan, it can just knock you out.
That's right.
Right. I mean, it really can. It can cause you to make bad decisions. It can hurt relationships if you've got this worry thing going on and so on and so forth. So, you know, really we say if there's one thing that you take away, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right.
Please write it down and have a measurable target. Speaking of measurable targets, though, the clock is sitting here running and.
But I also know we have some examples, right, of folks that have achieved their definition of success. We'll talk about more later in the show, but I'll just start with one. Bill Gates, he had a vision for Microsoft, and that was to put a computer on every desk in every home.
Mm-hmm.
And he tracked market share and sales figures meticulously to gauge progress towards this goal, specific and measurable.
That's right. And we have a measurable target each week to do a weekly puzzle.
That's right.
And we're...
We'll get that to the next segment.
We're running out of time as we can... we're measuring, saying, oops, we're not on target for that.
That's okay. We'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yeah. And we are co-hosting. And, you know, the main thing we're really talking about today is that your definition of success should be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
and we failed miserably on the measurable thing in the second segment.
No, I think we did great.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Because we ran out of time.
That's okay.
It was measurable. We did not get to our weekly puzzle.
All right, let's get to our puzzle then. And James, let's try to not forget about
these. Not forget about it. We do this all the time. Well, last week's puzzle, that was so much fun. I am a spear that never rusts. I grow downward and am totally destroyed by the sun. Try to wield me and I will likely slip through your fingers. The longer you hold me, the more fragile I become and the more easily I break. What am I?
That's a mouthful. Say that one more time.
That's a mouthful. I am a spear that never rusts. I grow downward and am totally destroyed by the sun. Try to wield me and I will likely slip through your fingers. The longer you hold me, the more fragile I become and the more easily I break. What am I?
Spear
that... It's weather related. It's that time of year. An icicle.
Oh, an icicle.
Yeah, an icicle.
Okay. Well, we had a snowflake the other week.
We had a snowflake.
So that's this is rather
this was
fitting.
An icicle.
Yes. No, that's a good one. Okay. Well, let's see here. This one, not weather related, but seasonal related.
Is it seasonal?
Yeah. So this puzzle is amazing as well. And where in the world do people come up with these things?
I have no idea.
Where do you even get these?
My brain just works overtime.
Oh, yeah. All these are coming out the crevices of your
that's right.
of your mind. I see. Okay. Well, this week's puzzle is, what is one thing December, January, February, and March are guaranteed to have in common every single year?
Wow. Okay. What one thing... Say that again. What one thing?
What is one thing that December, January, February, and March are guaranteed to have in common every single year?
Send your answers, if you think you know, to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week. Yes. I feel like we really went down a little rabbit trail there, but... Measurable just means that you're able to measure.
Fair enough.
I mean, that sounds so redundant. But have you ever tried to measure something where you didn't have a standard to measure it against?
No.
You pull out a yardstick, you pull out a ruler. I mean, you need to have something to measure against.
Mm-hmm.
When you write down your plans and you write down your definition of success, and you've spelled out, this is where I'm trying to go, this is where I'm trying to be, this is what I'm trying to get accomplished, and you have a written plan, then that written plan provides the measurable framework,
mm-hmm.
right, against which you can look at the results you're experiencing and hold it up against where you said you were trying to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Because without measurable success, you know, a lot of individuals can find themselves adrift in a sea of uncertainty.
That's right.
Unsure if they're making progress or just simply treading water. This can lead to missed opportunities, emotional distress, and even a misalignment of resources and your values.
That's right. It works like this. I was sitting in a board meeting for a particular organization, and the board was getting some coaching from this business coach who was trying to get the board more focused and on track.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about goals of the organization and everything. And this coach said that this is not specific enough. He used the word squishy. Right? He said, you guys are being squishy. We thought we had everything written down and laid out, but it was squishy. It wasn't specific enough, so it was not able to be measured.
Interesting.
But there are many places as we get into finance and investments and different things, different areas related to planning, there are some very specific examples of places where it's so important to be specific and measurable. For example, knowing whether I am spending too much money on insurance, for example.
That's important to know.
Yeah. If I'm balancing out my cash flow, remember, if I'm trying to either save up money or invest money or get from here to there, then I have to understand how my cash is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the B word that we all love to hate.
Budgeting.
No, I mean, really, because every dollar that comes in has to go somewhere. We can either spend the money to live on, or, you know, we can pay debt with it, or taxes, or we can put it somewhere to grow. But mm-hmm. balancing that out has to be specific. The only way that we know if we're spending too much is to have a goal that we're heading towards.
That's true. And like you always say, you know, we should look at money as a tool. You know, it's a tool to achieve your goals, not an end by itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's by right. having measurable financial goals, you can ensure that your money is working for you and your values.
And your values, doing what you want it to be doing.
That's right.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's doing what you want it to be doing as opposed to doing what somebody else thinks it should be doing, like the last sales rep that showed up.
Oh, well, that's true too, but there's a very good chance they don't hold the same values.
That's true. And if you really measure where you're heading by all the ideas that different sales reps put in front of you, you will pretty soon be broke.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll have some good products and maybe you won't. But let's kind of pick up on that insurance policy example. And not only does a measurable goal help you know whether you're spending too much on insurance, but it helps you know whether you have the right kind of insurance and whether your insurance policies are actually doing what you thought they were going to be doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we said that even if you don't have a written financial plan, or let's say if you're running a business, a written business plan, if you at least just take each account that you have and each insurance policy, and, you know, if you're invested in properties, I mean, just make a list of the things you have, and next to each thing, write a little sentence of, this is what I want this thing to be doing.
The account or product purpose.
The purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, if you have a written out purpose, then periodically you can look at that and ask yourself the question, is this actually doing what I thought I wanted it to be doing in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So at a really basic level, it helps keep you centered. It helps avoid that scenario that we were talking about a few minutes ago where something seemed to be working, but oh my goodness, what should I do now? Right? Because I just don't have a target laid out.
That's right. Just like the example earlier in the show.
That's right. So knowing whether insurance policies are doing what they're supposed to be doing, knowing whether an investment that I've made is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. Again, knowing whether the advisors that I'm working with.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, especially with life insurance, a lot of those policies can be very complex.
Mm.
You know, over the years, there's so many different types of insurance policies, and it's so crucial to review your statements regularly and understand the various components, such as cost of insurance, cash value accumulation. I mean, folks, don't hesitate to seek help interpreting that information. It's very important.
That's right. But you can't measure that if you never look at it.
That's true, if it's just sitting in a drawer.
That's right. I mean, I can't tell you. We hear this periodically. Oh, you know, I bought this a while ago, and, well, have you looked at it lately?
Yeah, and some folks, they look at their policy, and the cash value is negative.
That's right, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Joe, a couple minutes ago, said he was reading this devotional that encouraged him to stare at God and glance at his problems.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stare at God, but glance at your problems.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you glance, well, for example, let's say that you have this insurance policy. Like,
We're glancing at this policy right now.
That's right. We're glancing at this policy right now. This is not my policy, and fortunately, you know, I wasn't responsible for this, but it actually has negative value.
Mm.
I think if I pulled this statement out, I would be, I mean, first I would glance, and then I would stare.
I mean, when the first time, especially to the untrained eye, right, like the consumer, that can be concerning.
Right.
And it's important to understand why it's happening.
That's right. But when you set up an insurance policy, usually like there's this ledger that's laid out. It's filled with numbers and it shows where it is that you know, you may be years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And often, I mean, that's measurable. The numbers are laid out. It's easy to measure. But often, you know, people, again, will buy that and stick it in a drawer and they'll never look at it again, never evaluate it. So interest rates may change, cost of insurance may change, different things may change. And if it's never reviewed, then there's no possible way that you can measure where you are towards a goal.
Mm-hmm. So how about, like you were saying, with on some of the investment side? Talk about that for a minute.
Well, investments go up and down in value, like, all the time.
That's true.
Which makes it...
And volatility, correct?
Possibly more difficult to measure, right? Because when you lay out where you think you're going to be in the future with your investments, usually you can't just create a ledger that, you know, swings up and down all the time on a spreadsheet. The numbers neatly lay out in this upwardly marching timeline, and it just looks like you have more and more and more, and that's what your projection is. But in real life, investments go up and down in value.
And when the market is soaring, it's easy to get caught up in the euphoria and think that that'll continue forever, right? But history tells us that markets are cyclical. They go up, they come down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like you said, don't have a clear target when it takes some of the profits off the table, you risk riding that wave all the way back down, potentially losing those gains.
That's right. And you can't, you know, sometimes people will set a target and then they'll fudge on the target.
Mm-hmm.
The target's laid out, and then we get there, and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this, right? And I will talk a little bit more about that in our last segment today, but it's so important when you lay out a plan that you have to stick with the plan.
That's right.
Measure it and stay focused in that direction. Well, we are out of time.
That's right. We'll be back after this. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.